Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed, the Lord does love us, and we know that because in Isaiah 41:10, he says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will strengthen thee." Welcome, everybody, to a Saturday edition of Manna from Heaven. And we're finishing up our series on God's first I will. God's first I will is, I will strengthen thee. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. We thank you for another day of life. We thank you for another day of being in our right mind, for another day of being in Christ. Bless us, O Lord, as we break bread. Bless us, O Lord, as we consider another way in which you strengthen us. Bless us, God. Bind us together. Cause us to love your word. Cause us to love you. Holy Spirit, have your way with our hearts today. Have your way with our hearts. Have your way with our minds. This we ask. This we pray in Jesus' name. Yesterday we talked about how God strengthens us by bestowing upon his children additional mercies. Abraham, when standing before God to intercede before Sodom and Gomorrah, said this in Genesis 18:27. This is what he said. And Abraham answered and said to the Lord, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to you, the Lord, and I am but dust and ashes. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, we are finite creatures. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. We are but just dust and ashes. And because of our frame, because of what God knows we are, for who better than the Lord who knows what we are? He made us. We have not made ourselves. He made us. We are the sheep of his pasture. He knows that we're frail. He knows that we can be here one moment and gone the next. And this is why he pities us. And his mercies are renewed every morning. Every morning you get a do-over. Every morning he says, here's another chance to get it right. Every morning he says, here's another moment. Here's another opportunity to arise above your circumstances and be more than a conqueror. Why? Because his mercies are renewed. His love and loyalty for us is evident every morning. As he says, get up, I'm with you. You will conquer today. You will win today by my grace. So today, we're looking at how God strengthens us so that we might fully and adequately deal with the days in which we live. Some days are good days. Some days are evil days. Some days are full of sunshine. Some days are just full of torrential rain. Some days we have, other days we have not. Some days we feel good, other days we're in the dump. Some days we feel strong, other days we feel weak. Some days we feel reassured of ourselves, other days we're not very confident. God strengthens us in order to fully and adequately equip us to deal with the days in which we live. The great prince of preachers, Charles Spurgeon, he had a magazine, an evangelical magazine. It was called The Sword and the Trowel. The sword, the weapon that the Lord Jesus has given us, Paul says, and the Lord has given us the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So everybody knows what a sword is. It's a weapon, right? The sword, an offensive weapon. But then a trowel, it's spelled T-R-O-W-E-L, a trowel is an instrument that a builder uses when he's mixing cement, a trowel. A trowel, it's a building tool. It's a tool you use to build a house. So the magazine was called The Sword and the Trowel, and it emphasized the fighting and building that a Christian must do. You know, you got to fight and you got to build. You got to fight the forces of darkness. You got to use your energies. Use your strength. Use your stamina to push back on the forces of darkness. But also you have to use your strength and your energy and your powers to also build the house of God, the sword and the trowel. You need strength for working in God's house, and you need strength for fighting the enemies of darkness. You need strength for work and strength to fight. We have three scriptures here, Ephesians 3, Philippians 4, and Colossians 1. In each one of these, Paul, who is the author of all three epistles, and by the way, they happen to be prison epistles. Paul is in prison when the Holy Ghost came on him to write these three letters. Think about that. The Apostle Paul is in a dungeon, in a Roman dungeon at that, not knowing what his future might hold, not knowing what tomorrow might bring. Every time he moves his legs or his arms, he hears the chains rattling. And he writes these three epistles, and he encourages not only himself, but the saints to whom he is writing to. In Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse number 16, Paul is talking about how he is praying. It says, in fact, Ephesians 3:14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that he might grant you." Now notice, Paul is praying. He's in a dungeon. He's in bonds. He's in chains. And he gets on his knees in that dungeon, and he prays that God might grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. You see, my brothers and sisters, here's a guy in jail for preaching the gospel. His only offense, his only crime, is bringing the good news to mankind, to bringing the gospel message of salvation to a lost and dying world. That's his only crime. And for that, he's in bonds. He's in chains. He's in captivity. And he gets on his knees and he prays. Not for those who are in prison, but for those, he's praying for the Ephesians who are walking the streets and are enjoying their liberty, and he prays that they might be strengthened by the might of God's Spirit in the inner man. Why? Because if you're outside, if you have freedom, God is expecting you to work and to fight, to battle and to build, to represent the sword and the trowel. Now, the Ephesians were enjoying their freedom. They were having sunny days, and Paul was in a dungeon, and he was experiencing dark days. And think about this. The man who is experiencing dark days is praying for those to be strengthened in the inner man who were enjoying the sunshine. Go figure. Paul knew all too well that the tables could be turned from one day to another. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians, another prison epistle, the Apostle Paul says in verse 12, he says this, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound." In other words, he says, look, I know what it is to have no money, to be broke, not to have a nickel to my name, and I also know what it is to have my pockets full of money. I know both extremes. I know how both to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You see, my brothers and sisters, there's going to be days when you have a lot of money and there's going to be days when you're broke. Who's the author of both days? God is. The Apostle Paul said, I know what it is to have both. I know what it is to walk the streets and to have a big grin on my face because everything's going well. And I also know what it is to walk down the streets with my shoulders slumped and a frown on my face and worries in my heart because I don't know how long I can go on a downturn. He says, I know what it is. I've experienced both. But look what he says in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Well, it's easy. It's easy to be a Christian when things are going well. But can you be a Christian when things are going horribly wrong? You know, many Christians are fair weather Christians. As long as the sun is shining, and as long as they got money in their pocket, and they have their health, they will praise the Lord. But if they have a downturn in their health, or a downturn in their personal economy, or a downturn in life, then they go to questioning God. Where are you, God? Why did you abandon me, God? It doesn't pay you to serve you, God. You see, they are fair weather Christians. Paul says, no matter what the weather is, no matter what I'm going through, I can overcome all of my disadvantages at the moment because Christ strengtheneth me. You see, my brothers and sisters, can you be like that? Can you face down adversity? Well, I can tell you, you can't, not in your own strength. You see, but if Christ is strengthening you, see, that's the key. Paul could do it because he had Christ strengthening him. If you don't have Christ strengthening you, you can't overcome. You cannot overcome your adversities. You just can't. Your troubles will overwhelm you and defeat you. But because you have Christ who strengthens you, you can overcome any season of life. So notice, in both Ephesians 3 and in Philippians 4, we're able to overcome the evil days, the bad days, the horrible days, the disappointing days, because it is Christ who strengthens our spirit man. And then in Colossians 1, verses 9 and 11, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. You see, my brothers and sisters, we need to be strengthened with all might. According to who? Your power? My power? Our power combined? No, 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 no. See, the only way we can be strengthened with all might is by his glorious power. The sword and the trowel. You are called to build for Christ and battle for Christ. You know, if you've ever worked on a construction site like I did when I was 13, I remember my father deciding to build a brand new house because The old house that we moved to when my mother passed away was not adequate, so my father said, well, I have no choice but to build a brand new house, and he had a bulldozer come, and he had picked a site on the homestead, and the bulldozer came to the site where he wanted to build the house, and the bulldozer just cleared the site, and then after that, it was center blocks mixing cement and sand and water and gravel and working. I remember the long hours. And I had to carry center blocks over for the masons and the carpenters, and a truck would come with center blocks. A big heavy duty truck would come, and I had to unload. At 13, I had to unload those center blocks, and the days were long, and I needed strength. You see, you need strength to build. I remember my hands all cut up. My father gave me a pair of gloves. He says, put these gloves on, and because, you know, you're carrying center blocks. They're heavy, and you're 13 years old. I was a skinny kid. And here I am carrying, and then my father says, okay, you got to mix cement, and this is how much cement you use to the ratio of sand and gravel. And I remember grabbing that heavy shovel along with my uncles who were mixing, and I'm there mixing with them too. And there were long days in which we exerted a lot of strength. You see, when you're building, you need strength. But also when you're fighting, you need strength. Battling and building, sword and trowel. That's the Christian life. And for both, you need God's strength. And this is why he says he will strengthen our inner man. You know, Nehemiah was happy when he was building the wall. You know, Nehemiah, the Old Testament book, the Old Testament Bible character who used to be Artaxerxes, the Persian king's cupbearer. Nehemiah was happy when he was building the wall. And he was leading the people in building the wall. And then the enemies came. Those adversaries of the ancient people of God came and they showed up. And Nehemiah said to the people, with one hand, you hold on to your sword, and with the other hand, you hold on to the trowel. God's given you two hands, one the sword, the other the trowel. You keep building, and when they show up, you go to fighting. And for both, we need God's strength. And Nehemiah prayed for the people that God would give them the strength to build and that God would give them the strength to fight when the enemy showed up. So, God promises, my dear brothers and sisters, listen to me. We don't have anything to fear. Why? Because he's with us. We don't have to be knocked sideways. We don't have to be dismayed. We don't need to be knocked out of kilter. Why? Because he's our God. And also because he promises to strengthen us. He'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen me. Next week, starting on Monday, we're going to look at how God also pledges not only to strengthen us, but to help us. How does he help us? You would think he's helped us enough. Well, you see, God likes to pile on the blessings. God loves to pile on the blessings. Not only will he strengthen us, but then he promises to help us. Tune in on Monday for the new series, God's Second I Will Help Thee. How many of you out there need God's help? I certainly do. I need his strength and I need his help. Tune in on Monday. Don't forget tomorrow, Lord's Day, we'll all be in church to sing praises to our God and to worship his holy name. In anticipation of tomorrow's worship, I want to leave you with this beautiful hymn. The hymn is entitled, What Can Wash Away My Sins? The answer to that is nothing but the blood of Jesus. What I love about this hymn is it's an old hymn, but put to put to a contemporary style. That's what I love about this hymn, this particular rendition of this hymn. God bless you and enjoy.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, no. The blood.